And let's go right to Coach this morning. Coach, we will get into Mason and Isaiah's big announcement last night. But first and foremost, want to wish you a happy birthday. Riley and Mike let me know that yesterday. Of all things to do on your birthday, joining the Sports Talk Radio Show, man.
It's great to come on with you guys. Appreciate you having me on, Ty and Tommy. And, we don't need to talk about my birthday because as you get older, you know that's the last thing you want to know about.
All right, so if you don't want to talk about your birthday, let's talk.
Happy birthday, anyway.
Yeah,
boss.
Let's talk about last night, Coach. And it was really cool to see not only Isaiah's reaction, Mason's reaction, but I know we got to see your reaction, Danielle's reaction, Michael's reaction, and just the excitement that you guys had. What are the Philadelphia 76ers getting in Isaiah Joe?
Well, you know, they're getting a young player who's got a lot of upside. You know, the NBA game is about shooting and scoring. You know, but as all second rounders, and you know, I talked to Mason late last night, and, you know, I told him, like, and this is true whether you're drafted or not, like, now the real work begins. It's hard. I mean, I've been a part of that league where second rounders get cut in training camp. I've been a part of the league where I had to beg the Golden State Warriors to bring Brian Cardinal to camp as our 19th man, and he ended up making the team and starting. So there's a lot of twists and turns and different stories that happen from this moment on. Certainly for Isaiah to get drafted is, you know, a really, really special thing. I mean, just there's only 60 of them. It's really, really hard to get drafted. It's interesting. I mean, last year at the draft, Cody Martin got drafted. You know, he played for us at Nevada. His twin brother, Caleb, did not get drafted. And they both ended up making Charlotte's team. And the last NBA game that Charlotte's played, I think the non-drafted player went 5 of 6 from 3 in an NBA game. So, Mason's story has not ended. Isaiah's story has not ended. I think both those guys have the talent to play in the league. But it's going to be up to them to be ready for training camp. And more than likely, both will spend time in the G League. I'm quite certain that will be the case with both guys, that, that the G League is going to be part of what they go through this upcoming year. Now, what happens with the G League, we don't even know right now. There has been talk that maybe there won't be a G League this year. So mm-hmm. How it all plays out, will be really, really interesting. But being drafted, I can tell you it's really, really special for these guys, and it's really good for us from a recruiting standpoint. All high school players aspire to play at the next level, and when your program, you know, can have guys that get drafted. I mean, I was really happy for Jalen Harris, who played for us at Nevada. He was a transfer from Louisiana Tech, and he got drafted late by Toronto, and I was happy for him too. So It's a great day for guys, but like I said, I mean, in reality, we've never had a draft, and then basically a couple weeks later, you're right into training camp, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, there's not much time to celebrate, because this training camp's going to come upon these guys really, really quickly.
Coach, I love how you brought up Brian Cardinal, the custodian who played a pivotal part in the 2011 finals as a Dallas Maverick. But we were talking about Mason earlier, and this just kind of plays into his psyche, right? He's the SEC co-player of the year, averaged 22 points a game, and still doesn't get drafted. And to me, I mean, going from Finley Prep to Connor State to Arkansas, continuously getting better, improving his body. I mean, Coach, doesn't this seem like it's the perfect scenario for Mason? Oh, you're going to keep proving me wrong? Okay, watch what I can do here.
Yeah, I mean, he was disappointed last night, but he wasn't, he wasn't crushed. I mean, You could hear in his voice that he, you know, that this was not going to, you know, this was not going to take him down. That he was still determined. You know, so yeah, I think like with Mason, it's and in reality, I'm telling you guys, like once you hit training camp, because the money of a first rounder is so significant that they're not cutting those guys, or they're not sending first rounders to the G League for extended time for the most part. So second round, non-drafted, guys on two ways, like Mason's going to sign, like all those, they're kind of all thrown together once you get to camp. And in a normal year, it's how do you produce at the Las Vegas Summer League, and then how do you produce in training camp, and then once you go to the G League, how do you produce, and then you form your role in the NBA. That's just how it is for guys that are, you know, on rosters that are 10, 11, 12, 13 men on NBA rosters, and then for the two-way guys, the guys that are 15, 16 on those rosters, that's kind of the path that you have to take. So from this moment on, it's about productivity. It's about how hard you practice. Because for the most part, you know, you're going to have to earn your stripes. And so it's so fascinating to watch. But if you walk into almost every SEC locker room right now, men's basketball locker room, and you said, how many of you guys think you're going to play in the NBA? Almost every hand would go up. And you talk about Mason Jones being co-player of the year in the SEC, non-drafted. You talk about Reggie Perry. I think he was 57th pick. He was co-SEC player with Mason, and he was three picks away from not being drafted. So I think it's also, you know, you've got to look at this thing in its totality. It also lets players know how difficult it truly is to hear your name called on draft night, and think about how hard it is to be drafted in the first round. But our league was really, really represented incredibly well in that first round.
Yeah, I mean, I put something on Twitter, and I watched, and I was kind of dipping in and out, but four of the first 14 picks, as I'm sure you noted, were from the SEC, and none of them were from Kentucky. And to me, that was the notable part. Yes, the four of the 14, but you'd expect two of those guys, you know, surely two of them were from Kentucky, right? No, they weren't. And that tells you about the depth of this league, and I think with coaches like you and others that have joined this league, the league's improved and gotten deeper. Now, Kentucky caught up and got on the board, and then this league ends up with 12 leading all the other leagues. But, Coach, that tells you how good this league has become, not in just totality with the 12 picks, but four of the first 14, and they're not three of the four being Kentucky this time.
There's no doubt, and you know, like as the draft's going on, and you guys got to think about Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's drafted, and Saban Lee gets drafted, and a year before, Garland goes early in the first round. So you're talking about Vanderbilt, the team that struggled, and I get that Naismith and Garland were injured, but it shows you the level that you have to recruit in this league, because as these names were popping up, we're sitting there saying, like, you know, we got to keep getting better. We've got to keep increasing our talent when you're seeing all these first rounders. And again, no question, like, we were really, really excited for Isaiah. But from an internal standpoint, because I was watching it with several of our staff members, and we had a text thread going because we wanted to make sure that we didn't have too many people over at our house because of COVID. We wanted to, now that we're a week away, trying to do everything we can to keep everybody happy. But we were texting each other, and you know, like in this league, you know, first rounders, I mean, that's who you're playing against, and ultimately, you know, you've got to win with the same level of talent or more to beat people. And so we got a lot of work to do as well.
Yeah. Anything else on the draft? I mean, I want to talk about your team now because you know, there's so many questions we got about that. But anything else you want to talk about on the draft? Because I'm sure you could talk about that for another half hour with us.
No, I mean, I had the staff rolling last night. We were going through draft stories, early in the first round, kind of waiting, you know, because we knew that our guys were basically, you know, 45 above the feedback that we had gotten, especially the day before the draft. So we kind of knew, you know, that we had some time where we could just kind of casually sit back and some of the stories I was telling about the draft room, and we probably don't have time today unless you want me to go into a lot of different segments, which I'm sure you don't. Good. But when
we
you're
can
in
work
draft
that out.
Room,
yeah.
When you're in a draft room with Jerry West, just crazy stuff that people would have no idea, and then you know, the trade calls that are coming and going, and just a lot of funny stories, but you know. People always talk about a player getting a promise. I was with the team. I won't say who. We had one draft pick, and unfortunately, management had told 12 different players that they had promises. So we had one pick. And so, you know, those are some of the things that I try to educate our players on, because I've been in those draft rooms, and I try to tell people all the time, you know, all these coaches at the collegiate level can talk about the draft and the process. If you haven't been in the draft room, you only know it from one lens. And it gets wild in the draft room. I can promise you that. And I've also been a part of the San Diego Padres. I sat in on two drafts with Kevin Towers, who at that point was the GM, and I've seen what happens in a baseball draft. And I hope at one point to be in the draft room in the NFL, because to me it's so fascinating what goes on in these rooms and the pressure and who's really prepared and which scouts really, really can stand up with a bold, you know, and a forceful opinion on a player and which guys are weak and waffling back and forth between the guys on their evaluation. So it's really a fascinating process.
Well, Coach, we're less than a week away from the season's scheduled start, and I want to get into, you mentioned COVID, and we're seeing, you know, a rise in the numbers. We're seeing football games in our conference right now being postponed, and teams not having enough players. I wanted to kind of talk to you and kind of get a peek behind the curtain and how it's going to work in basketball, because we know in football, if you don't have the required numbers to play, they postpone the game. How is that going to work in your sport with contact tracing, with positive numbers? You have a much smaller roster, obviously, than football. How is that going to work in your sport with 15 players, 13 scholarship players, smaller staffs when COVID issues arise?
I don't think we really know. And this is only my opinion. And I wish we would have started on time. You know, I wish we would have already been 2 weeks into this thing, and we already would have had three or four games under my belt. Again, that's only, you know, my opinion. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, if you study, if you read, you know, the COVID numbers continue to rise, you know, throughout the country. And so it's a huge concern. I know, you know, for myself, I have not had it. I've tried to do everything, you know, that I possibly can not to get it. However, having said that, last night, I think probably four times during the draft, I asked Danielle to take my temperature because I felt like I was getting the chills. Well, temperature is normal. You know, like all of us, you know, anything that happens, you think you might have it, which is, you know, scary. And I want to coach because that's my job. But you look at all the coaches that have got it in all different sports, and now all of a sudden you're starting to see more college basketball coaches getting it because you're with your team, which is college-age students, and it just happens no matter how much you wear a mask. And for our particular team, we have had a good portion of players and staff have it. And just based on what they're telling you from a medical standpoint, you know, we cannot get a mass hit with the thing just because we've already, majority of our parties already had it. But there will probably be games canceled for sure. You're going to have to adjust on the fly. You're going to have to be flexible on the fly.
So let me get you clarify what you said. There's a majority of your team that has had it at this point. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Because at that point, your players don't have to retest for 90 days after they're positive, correct?
Yeah, so I'm not sure the exact day, but you know, it's one day I hear it's 90, one day it's 120 days. Mm-hmm. But yes, for the majority of our guys, from a testing standpoint, and then from, medically, can you get it? We have a window where a good portion of our guys have had COVID and, are not at risk of at least from what we know, of getting COVID again. We still have a couple guys that, along with myself and a very few number of staff members that have not had it.
Eric Musselman with us here on the Morning Rush. So, Coach, kind of to go off that question, let's say the worst happens, and I know Kermit, you mentioned SEC coaches had it. Kermit Davis, it was announced that he tested positive. Let's say you do get it. We knew Barry Odom was going to be the interim head coach if Sam Pittman got it. Well, that's what happened. I'm assuming that if something was to happen on the basketball side of things, would David Patrick be the interim head coach for the time being?
Yeah, he would. The one thing – yes, Coach Patrick would for sure. I know he'd do a great job. Obviously, he did a great job at UC Riverside as the head coach there. That part of the, but we have a staff that, Corey Williams has been a head coach at Stetson, Division One school in Florida. Clay Mosier has been a head coach in the minor leagues overseas. So we have three guys that have great experience. But Coach Patrick would be the guy that would call the timeouts, have final say on substitutions. And, the one thing is, whether it's Coach Pittman or whether it's, Kermit Davis at Ole Miss, or we've gotten to this point as of today, basically everything that we're going to do is in. You hope that through months and months and months of preparation that your ball club can semi-function on its own, with in-game decisions obviously being really important and substitutions being really important. But, what are we doing offensively, the technique, the fundamentals, the exact footwork, the spacing on offense, all those little details have already been implemented. It's interesting because right now we're scheduled to practice today, Friday, and Saturday. And Saturday, we can't wait for the football game, so we would go before the 11 o'clock tip, which means the 11 a.m. Kickoff, so that would mean we'd have to tip off practice early in the morning. I'm trying to figure out how do we get the guys to the finish line, meaning next Wednesday where we're fresh mentally, fresh physically, and we're right at that point right now where our guys are getting burned out because we haven't played a game in so long, and it's been so much practice, and so I'm even trying to figure out as we're less than a week away, like, what does this last week look like? And so I'm going back to some of the things that we've done with NBA teams way back when you were allowed to have true two-a-days in the NBA, and how we kept guys fresh leading up to that first game, the last week of the season. So I'm going to pull out some of those old practice plans today, and we're going to probably alter practice a little bit. The next 3 days, 4 days will be a little bit different than they have been.
Are you going to allow yourself any fun today on your birthday, or is it all work, all business today?
No,
do something fun.
We're going to go to we're going to have dinner with a small group of guys on staff and Danielle and Ryan, my son Michael. We will have fun. We have way more fun than people know.
Are you going to, like, eat something fun, or is it going to be, like, low-carb, like, all healthy? I mean, are you going to eat something fun, too?
Danielle's got a whole bunch of cookies right here. She surprised me with the cookies. They say Must Bus on them, and we got some Woo Pig Suey ones, and we got some hog cookies, and she's going to bring them to the end of practice today, and then I'm sure she's got a cake hidden around here somewhere.
There you go.
But yes, we will. I'll probably have a salad because we're too close to tip off, and you gotta try to look as good as you possibly can in the polo. And so it'll probably be salad and a little bit of birthday cake, and that's it.
Well, semi-fun then. All right, well, happy birthday. And, hey, thanks for carving out some time for us today on your birthday.
No, you guys, thanks so much for having me on. Ty, Tommy, appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of your show today.
All right, we got about 25 more questions if you want to come back next week. So,
all right, you guys, thanks so much.